I'll be talking about the joy of the feast, and this is going to be a good, nice rundown for what we're going to expect in these 8 days ahead of us. And so during this time, there are a lot of things that we should be excited for, as we heard about last night. And we do have 8 wonderful days in which we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, including the last great day. Now, these days are separate from our customary life and our routine schedules. It's like an entrance through another door in which we dwell in a millennial setting, and we do what is commanded to do by God, where we meditate on Him and we think about His plan, while we also have fun and fellowship at the same time. If only we could have it this way continuously in the world. But we don't have that yet. This is a foretaste, right now what we are going through, for what is to come in the future, in the millennium, after Christ's return. For the time being, we leave our routine lives in this world temporarily, and we meet together like we're doing right now, in these temporary booths, and we observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, personally, this is the best time of the year for me, which I'm sure it is for a lot of you, as you anticipate with excitement before the feast comes. That, and also all the stress that comes as well. So I like to think of it as a good stress, maybe, right, before the feast comes. But when there's a lot of preparation, a lot of things to do, it keeps it on our toes, for sure. And so each year, months before the feast, I look forward to it and prepare myself for it with increasing excitement. Now, this was something that was more likely in the past. This year, however, because of all the changes and all the things that we had to adjust to and not even knowing for certain where we're even going to be for the feast, several months before the feast seemed like an eternity. So a lot of things happened, I would say, a month beforehand. I mean, it was really one of those things where we really had to prepare for what is to come. But now we are here, so you can forget about all that. Now we're just looking forward. So what makes this feast so enjoyable, and why do we have the best time during the feast? And I will give you 8 reasons. The first one, which we heard a lot about last night, was joy. And that is a question we should all ask ourselves. Will our feasts be filled with joy? I think we all know the answer to that question, but it is always important to ask that question. We all at least should have a great attitude for this joyous occasion, as it is such a positive atmosphere and also a foretaste of what is to come. We are commanded to have a joyous feast. Last night we did turn to Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 and 14, which I will do again in case you forgot what that scripture was about. Well, we'll go there anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And we are commanded that we should observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter and your male servant and female servant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, who are all within your gates. So the important thing here is that we are to rejoice. Number 2 is rest. And as Eric Rank already pointed out, he's not getting a lot of rest. So, and it's very true. I mean, you have 4 kids, and I only have 1. And from 7 to 10, it goes by pretty fast. So I feel for you. Well, for anybody that has kids. Actually, for anybody here, it is... physical rest is one of those things which has been challenging to do as we travel to the feast anyway, for all of you who have traveled long distances. But this is our time of rest. Rest from our busy lives involving work. And I would love to say rest from those who are in school. Now, in the past, that was a lot easier. This year has been very challenging. From what I have heard already, some of you are challenging or being challenged with that when it comes to school. And my son, for example, has more work than I've ever seen him have work. And I know some others can relate with that. And that's already a challenging thing. But make the most of it, the best of it, And all I could say was, he's going to do as much as he can do. Anyway, this is a sort of a vacation that we're going through, but it should be viewed as a commandment from God that we must keep the feast. And we also should have a break from the stress that we are used to in our routine lives and the activities. But we turn that bad stress into good stress. We rest away from our homes and we stay in temporary dwellings as God commands, which we had also read about in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 39 and 42. And we heard a lot about the temporary dwellings last night and what that means exactly. And then another question came up to, or probably wondering as well, I mean, when we stay in these temporary dwellings, what happens to our dwellings at home? And I gotta say, as a personal example, does God protect us and our dwellings when we are gone? Well, I could say that as we were traveling here, I get a phone call, actually several text messages, a neighbor of mine, friend of mine, saying there's a fire at my property, or actually like pretty much right next door. I didn't realize how close it was until I got the video from my neighbor's my neighbor and also a friend of mine who drove over to the property and took a video and showed me just how close it was. It was so close that the bomber dropped the retardant on the property line of my place. So if there was any kind of wind, and I'm surrounded by eucalyptus trees, those are the worst kind of trees, they go up in flames, you know, pretty bad. But it was a power line that went down and exploded or something, and it caused the fire. And fortunately, we have the fire base. Cal Fire is actually located in our city. And they've had a lot of practice and a lot of lessons to be learned from past times when the fires were really, really bad. So they knocked it out really quick. And fortunately, it was nothing, no property loss or anything like that. But that's one of those things. What are you going to do? I was like, well, I'm just going to pray that God protects, you know, the house. But they're right there, a beautiful example of how God will protect your dwellings when you are gone. You obey God, and he will provide protection. And that is something we have also heard about in recent messages. Number three, peace. We have a time of peace. The feast pictures how it will be in the future, when God rules from earth, when the whole world will experience peace and won't have to worry about war anymore. We are in a peaceful environment right now, and we are to act as peacemakers, just as God has intended for each and every one of us. Matthew 5, verse 9 tells us that the blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Number four is fellowship, and we heard a lot about that yesterday too. But we all are here together of like mind, and that is also important. Spending time together, getting to know each other better, catching up since the last time we saw each other, and that already is great. And for some of you, I haven't even seen 7-8 years, and finally, and not even planning to have it happen this way, but we actually are here this time, and that is something we actually talked about last year for those of us who go to Germany frequently, my family and I, and it's like, when are we ever going to come back here again? And we didn't expect it to happen this way, but this is how it happened, and, you know, God also is in charge, so it's good. I'm glad we are here and get to see you all again, too, and get to meet some new people as well, so I look forward to that as well. But even that, even the size of our group, you know, we are a small group, and it is actually a lot easier to getting to know each other as opposed to larger groups like it was in the past, like we're used to with, you know, a congregation of 1,000 or so people, and you don't even get to meet anybody even, or a lot of those people during the feast. But this is nice. It's very personal. And this may only be the time right now that we see each other for the whole year, until we see each other again at the feast. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We read, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We fellowship here, and we are all of like mind. Christ points out just how important it is to have fellowship. And this is not easy to do in the world and the people there. It's hard to communicate with people that don't believe the same things we do. I have friends in the world where I cannot talk about religion. Everything else is fine. But religion, that's something you don't want to go into with some, especially when they themselves are religious in their own way, right? And I think you all know what you mean, or what I mean by that. But right here, we really are a family, and we are here for each other, or at least we should be. Number 5 is meditation. We should also meditate and think about what the feast pictures and know that God is to be thanked for all that he has done for us and the work that he continuously does for us, and that we must meditate over this. Notice in Psalms chapter 77, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 77, and verse 11. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." We meet every day for services, and we are reminded just how awesome God's plan is, and that we look forward to be part of his family. We are meditating right now. We are thinking about that awesome time, that plan of his. And that brings on the next point, is perfection. Because his plan is, in fact, perfect. It may not seem like that at times when we go through these trials, whatever we're going through, but God has us all figured out. We strive for perfection, and we try very hard to be perfect, even though it is humanly impossible for us to be absolutely perfect, since we still all sin. But everything is possible through God. Let's notice Psalm 19 in verses 7 and 8. Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." All we have to do is follow him and keep his commandments. Keep the Sabbath, keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day, all the holy days. This is our way to perfection. Number 7 is giving. And we experience a lot of this during the feast. Everybody loves to be in the giving mood and go out to eat. Everybody wants to pay. You can invite me anytime. How many times has this happened in the world? How much giving do we actually see in the world? We may see glimpses of it. That's true. Sure. But we really do experience that in full effect during the feast. We are required to use our second tithe during the feast. We help each other out. We help those in need, especially those who don't have as much money. You know, it's great. It's a great feeling to be giving. But Christ was very giving in everything that he had done. This is how we can enjoy the feast. It's not just for ourselves, but it's also for others. We give to God with tithe and offerings. And we will be doing that this afternoon. And remember, God has and will continue to bless us. You know, this is something I've been telling my son as well, because, you know, I said, "We want to give an offering, so you give whatever you want to give. God will bless you for it." And so I was confident that that would happen. And so he gave, and sure enough, he got blessed in abundance, and he's already telling me how much, and he has more than I do, but that's fine. But I mean, it's an enjoyable time, especially for the kids here as well. And I know we've been through this. You know, those who have been kids growing up in the church too, experiencing the feast. It's great. I mean, it is the greatest time of the year for sure. And with that, it leads us to the last point. Oh wait, no, I'm not done yet. Sorry. No, actually, I wanted to go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, verses 15 through 17. Verse 15, 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Of course, this is going to go into the offering, which you will partake of in the afternoon. But here, the point of this is as well, is that God has chosen this place. God has chosen that we are here together. We also made a choice to be here, to attend here. And I always have to put into our minds, that we have nothing without God. Number 8 is fun. We all have fun. This is a joyous time that we are celebrating right now. We have made a schedule for the feast. There's a lot of activities that we can be doing, a lot of places to visit. And we have some things, if we haven't already, have our planner here. We'll probably talk about in the announcements. But I'll go over some things, what we do have planned coming up. Some surprises, you know. Well, we always have surprises anyway. But it'll be fun. Everyone's invited, of course. You know, no one's left out. We try to make the feast, as I said, enjoyable for everyone. Our goal is to make each year more and more memorable. We all remember just how much fun we had during the feast. And now with these 8 points, it is hard to believe why we wouldn't have the best time during the feast. And that is what we're going to do. We will continue to have an enjoyable Feast of Tabernacles.